Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
Thank you so much. While we're standing, can we please give a massive round of applause and honour Pastor Gareth and Pastor Jess? Come on, let's give some honour for these guys. Turn to your neighbour and say, you are blessed. I don't know if you guys know. Stay standing one more moment. Sorry, I know it was like, oh, my backside had been up for worship the whole time. But you guys are blessed here in Belmont with some of the best campus pastors that we have. And they love you. They love the Word of God. They're anointed. And I just want to just take this moment to really talk them up, because sometimes we can get familiar with what we have, amen? And I just think you guys, with Pastor Gaz and Jess and what God is doing here, it really is something special. So one more time, can you just give a round of applause for what God is doing through their guys' lives? And that is amazing. You guys can grab your seat. You can grab your seat. Turn to your neighbor and say, you look good. Even if you just had to lie then, it's called prophecy. Just speak it into being. You know, you look good today. Maybe it's the person you've seen every day for the last 25 years. Just tell them again, you look good. You look good. But I'm really excited to come around sharing the Word of God today. If I've never met you before, my name is Matt. Like Gareth said, I'm the youth pastor over at our Myrie campus. But when I was 11 years old, I actually got saved and gave my heart to God here in Nations Church and Nations Youth Ministry. I was in a high school. I actually moved from New Zealand when I was 11 to Australia. Is there any Kiwis in the room today? Just one. Oh, a couple over there. Yeah. Coming out from behind. In fact, is there anyone that's immigrated to Australia? Give me a wave if you're an immigrant here. Let's go. Taking over the world. Look at us. In the words of Hamilton, immigrants get the job done. And so, you know, it's great to be here. And I love what God's doing in Australia. But I moved when I was 11 years old. And I was at a high school at Somerville Baptist College. I had Nations Youth Ministry come in. I didn't even know there was a church. I just thought they were a fun group. And they invited us to a Friday night program. I came along to that Friday night, and we were singing and clapping about Jesus. And I was like, oh, this is cool. I grew up believing in God. I grew up in a Christian family. So I had some type of grid for who God was. But I'll never forget, I was sitting literally on the back row of this church, and the gentleman got up and gave a salvation moment for you to say yes to Jesus. And in my head, I'm like, it's all good. I'm a Christian. I believe in God. But all of a sudden, my heart just began to pound bit by bit. And it was almost like God was knocking on the door of my heart. And I remember that moment. I responded. I put up my hand. I came down the front. I said a prayer, and God radically changed my life. It's literally like this burden lifted off me, and light came into my life that day and radically transformed me. And fast forward, you know, 15 or 14 years later, I'm still here with Jesus today, still following him. God is still faithful. He's still good. He's still on the move. And I just want to encourage you today, following Jesus is the most exciting journey you and I can ever sign up for. You know, the world will say that it's better just to kind of live on your own terms, do your own thing. But when we're truly following Jesus, there is nothing better for us. You know, Jesus said, I have come to give you life and life more abundantly. And so when we're following Jesus, we have the most fulfilling life. Yes, there's challenges, there's difficulties, but life to the full is only found in following him. And I remember for the first kind of year of believing in God, I believed, but I didn't follow God. Have you ever been there before where you believe but you haven't like actually followed? Man, can I tell you, that was some of the hardest years of my life. I remember feeling so empty inside. I remember feeling so purposeless, so visionless. And I thought my life would get better living for myself, but my life only got worse and worse. I literally, just being honest, there were times I'd cry myself to sleep at night. There was an emptiness. There was a hollowness inside of me. Though I knew God was real, I had not surrendered my life completely to him. And then one day when I was 14, I got dragged to a church service that I did not want to be at by my mum. Praise God for mums that drag kids to church. I want to hit pause right here and tell you, if you're a parent in this room and your teenager has yelled at you or sworn at you because you made them come to church, I want to celebrate you. You are a champion in the kingdom of God. Seriously, I'm so thankful to God for parents that don't listen to what children say, but listen to what God says, and says, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. So my mom brought me to the service, and I remember, it wasn't like a crazy moment, didn't have like the Holy Spirit heebie-jeebies, I didn't fall over. It was just a moment in my own heart where I said, you know what, God, I'm living for myself sucks, to be honest. Living for myself is terrible. I'd rather live for you and my life suck than live for me and it suck. And that was my moment. I said that prayer, and nothing happened straight away. There was no, I didn't feel any presence, but bit by bit, as I began to follow Jesus, God has just transformed me and changed me bit by bit by bit. Fast forward 11 years later, I'm living the best life I ever could imagine. Not because I'm successful or I've worked hard, but because Jesus is faithful. Jesus is worthy. He is wonderful. He is worthy of you following him. He's not just worthy of you saying yes to him. He's worthy of your life. He gave his life for us. And can I tell you, when I gave my life to Jesus, he radically transformed me. And I would not be here. I would not be who I am today if it wasn't for Jesus. And I'm really excited because I just feel in my heart this morning that my goal today, my assignment, is just to stir all of us, to awaken us, that your most exciting, best life is found in following Jesus. And following Jesus is not just coming to church on a Sunday, though that's part of it and it's important to prioritize the house of God. But following Jesus needs to have an effect on our everyday. Because Jesus said, if anyone wants to be my disciple, let him deny himself, pick up his cross daily and follow me. And so I want to speak into this idea of our daily following Jesus. What does that look like? What does that seem like? Because your best life and my best life is found when we daily deny what we want to do and say, Jesus, I'm here to follow you. I'm here to push onto you. And so would you just join with me in praying right now before the service? If you will, would you just put your hand, if you're cool, put your hand on the person next to you if you know them, just because we're a family here today. And I really just feel that God wants to set our hearts just still in his presence. So Holy Spirit, I just give you this service. I welcome you right now. Holy Spirit, would you come? I can sense that you're here. I know that you're here. I know that you're awakening people. I know that you're activating people. I know that today is not a work of man. It's a work of your Spirit. So Holy Spirit, would you come and breathe, Lord God? Would you breathe on dry bones and dead bones, Lord? People, Lord God, that are in a place of feeling hopeless, people that feel that their life is not achieving purpose. Holy Spirit, would you wake them up today? Would you touch them with your presence? Would they align to you, Lord God? And Lord God, I pray, Lord God, would we not hear what I have to say? Would we hear what you're speaking to us, Lord God? Holy Spirit, you're the most welcomed, most honored guest here today. So we give you the glory. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said, come on, let's just give God one more clap of praise because he is amazing. Hey, I want to speak to you a message today titled The Not So Normal Life. Because I believe for you and me, as we follow Jesus, our life is going to look anything but normal. In fact, if you want to look normal, you might be in the wrong faith. Because I look at the life of Jesus, and he was one of the most abnormal people to ever walk the planet, but has made the greatest impact more than anyone else. And I want to draw our attention to a passage of scripture found in the book of Matthew, chapter number 14. We're going to read some verses together. If you have your Bible, why don't you turn with me there to Matthew chapter 14. We're going to read from verse number 22 through to 33. And it's an account of Jesus. It's an account of his disciples. It's an account of a storm. And it's an account of water. And we pick up the story in verse number 22, right after Jesus had just fed 5,000 men plus women and children. Immediately, everyone say immediately. Immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It's a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Verse 28, and Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." Verse 29, he said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Got out of the boat." Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Have you ever had a moment in your life where God has asked you to do something that you wouldn't normally do? Give me a wave. Have you ever had a moment where God has spoken to you and it's like, man, this is not my personality type. This is not what I feel is like my grid. This is not what I'm called to. This is not my expectation. But for some reason, God likes to ignore all of our reasons and ask us anyway. You know, I remember this one time I was at university. I was studying management and marketing at Murdoch Uni. And to be honest, in this point of my life, I was not, I mean, Pastor Gareth talked about how I'd pray for people. And I'm like, man, I want to meet that guy that he's talking about, because I feel I'm still on this journey of like trying to follow Jesus as best as I can. And back in 2013, the year was, I was 17. I wasn't really on fire in terms of reaching out to people. In fact, I saw people evangelize, or I saw people pray for strangers or tell people about God. And I was like, man, that is awesome, but that's not for me. And I thought that God was willing to use everyone else but me. And I excluded myself. I was shy. It wasn't really my personality type. It wasn't really my thing. Until one day I was at university and I was walking past this group of girls, and we had these computers kind of laid out. And there was five computers next to each other, and there was these five girls on these computers. And I was walking past them to kind of get to the south wing of the library. And I overheard them speaking. And one of them said, oh, man, I'm so sick. I don't know if I'm going to be good for this test that I have. And instantly, in my heart, I felt, oh, I should really pray for them. Have you ever like had that moment where it's like, is that God speaking to me? I mean, for some reason, I often expect the voice of God to be like, Matt, go pray for those people. And I'm like, my goodness, that Optimus Prime? Like, who is this voice come from? And, you know, like we expect the voice of God to be booming, to be loud, to be like the writing on the wall. Like, okay, I must do it. But most often than not, the voice of God looks like an impression in your mind heart. And I had this impression that I should pray for them. And so what I said, I was like, no. And so I walked over to the south wing of the university, and I was looking through books. But meanwhile, in my mind, I'm having this argument and this debate with God. Have you ever had a debate with God before? Have you ever had an argument with God before? Has anyone ever won? No, I don't know what it is. It's like you can have every reason under the sun. I'm busy. I have an assignment. That's not my personality. I'm uncomfortable. I don't want to do it. And it's all of these reasons, but God will still put it on your heart. No, go to that person. No, go to that person. No, go to that. So I'm having this argument, and I'm like, buy all these books, and I don't want to look like a weirdo. And so I'm like, okay, I'll just keep walking around. So I walk around, go to the elevator. I get in the elevator, and I'm like, in my head, just kind of, God, why are you making me do this? I don't really want to do this. I don't get the elevator doors open and say, oh, hey, guys, how you doing? Pretending that you're all good. And that meanwhile, in your mind, you're yelling at God, until finally I was like, okay, I give up. I'll go. And I was hoping by this point it'd been 20 minutes that they won't be there anymore. And so I went back, and you wouldn't believe it, they were still there. But at this point, they're all sitting on the ground. And so I didn't really know how to address them. This is the first time I'd ever really talked to a stranger. I mean, I talked to kids at youth ministry. I talked to maybe some friends, but a random, like, that's not me. And I walked over there sitting there, and I didn't really know how to address them. So I just said, hey. All five of them turn around and look at them. You know, I don't know, side note, I don't know why it is, but girls like to travel in packs. You know, girls are almost like they're like wolves sometimes, you know. It's like they're together and they look at you like, oh, terrified, like, hi. And I don't really know how to explain myself. I'm like, my heart's racing. And I'm like, hey, I overheard one of you guys say that you were sick. I was wondering, I'm a Christian, could I pray for you? And then their response, looking at me, I'm like terrified. They go, aw, that is so cute. And in my heart, I'm like, you're damn right it is. It's the cutest thing that's ever happened. The cutest thing. And I was like, can I pray? And they were like, yeah, sure. And so they made me sit on the ground with them. And just a side note, the proportion of my hips to my body, to my torso and legs, my hips are actually up here. I know it looks ridiculous, but like you'd imagine there. And so what happens is my ability to cross my legs is highly inhibited. And so I try and get on the ground and just kind of like bend over. And then I just go for the kneel in the end. It's way easier. So I'm kneeling there and I pray with this girl. I was like, God, I pray for Ruth. Would you heal her body? Would she have a great test in Jesus' name? Amen. Amen. And in my heart, I'm like, I've done it. I've succeeded. So I get up like, hey, great to meet you girls. All the best. I'll see you never again in my life. And I'm cruising off. And then all of a sudden, another girl goes, oh, excuse me, I've got a test as well. And I said, awesome. And she's like, can you pray for me? And I was like, of course. And so I cruise back on over, stand there awkwardly, fold my legs and get on the floor and pray. And bit by bit, I actually got to pray with all of these girls for different health reasons and things that were coming up. And nothing crazy happened. They didn't accept Jesus in that moment. It wasn't like a crazy moment in them, but it was a crazy moment in me. Because for the first time, I did something I normally wouldn't do. In fact, for the first time, I allowed God to take me and lead me somewhere that I wouldn't normally go. And I look at this story in Matthew chapter 14. And the reality was, this wasn't the first time Jesus and his disciples had been on a boat together. You know, in Luke chapter 5, it records that Peter and Simon were with Jesus. And Jesus called to them, and if we pop that on the screen, Luke chapter 5, verse number 3-6, it talks about the first time that Simon and Andrew were called. And it said, when he had finished speaking with them in verse number 4, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. You know, the reason these guys were even following Jesus is because Jesus met them by a boat and asked them to do something where they would go out into the deep and put down their nets for a catch. But keep in mind, these guys are fishermen. And so this isn't the first time they've gone out into deep water. In fact, any time they would have wanted to catch fish, they would have go out into the deep water. Also as well, if they want to catch fish, they need to lower their nets. And so this is not the first time they'd put out into the deep water, nor the first time they'd let down their nets for a catch. Jesus asked them to do something. Yes, it was inconvenient. Yes, it was difficult. Yes, it was a step of obedience. But the reality was it wasn't out of the ordinary. But then in Matthew chapter 14, the same Jesus, same Peter, probably the same boat, except Jesus asked them something that had never, ever been done before, something that was not normal for them. We see in verse number 28 of Matthew chapter 14, it records, Peter answered him, Lord, if it is you, command me. Turn to your name and say, command me. Command me to come to you on the water. And he said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. Peter, standing in a boat. You know, the boat, it represents to me what's familiar to us. The boat represents what's solid, what's reliable. The boat represents where we've been before. Peter had been in a boat so many times. And you know what? I just want to pause here and just say there is nothing wrong with the boat. In fact, it was on the boat that Jesus preached to the crowds. Hello. It was on the boat that Jesus calmed the storm and said, quiet, be still, and the storm was silent. It was on the boat the disciples caught a miraculous catch of fish. Jesus will use the boat. Jesus will use what we normally do. Maybe the boat for us is when we occasionally invite that friend to church, or maybe the boat is when we occasionally pray for someone, or maybe the boat is what we normally do. But there are times in our Christian journey where God will use what we normally do, but he asks us to do something that's out of the normal. And I just feel in my heart, my assignment here today is just to encourage you and I to have in our mind an allowance. Yes, this is my normal. This is my personality type. This is where I normally go. But if you do not have an allowance in your own heart for Jesus to ask you to do something outside of the normal, you'll not get to experience the fullness of what he wants to do in your life. That we have to have an allowance as Christians, not only to stay within the confines of our boat, but be willing to get out of the boat, to walk on the water towards Jesus. I love this. The Bible says in verse 29 that Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. Pause right there. Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water. In other words, we all want the walking on water. Say Jesus is in the back corner of the room. We all want that testimony. We all want to be able to pray for someone and see them get healed, right? We all want to be able to tell someone about the love of God or see a loved one get saved or say yes to Jesus. We all want that moment. But that moment only happens after we get out of our boat, get out of our comfort zone. Get out of where we've been before. Get out of what we've done before. Get out of our normal, because after we get out of the boat, only then can we walk on water towards Jesus. I believe for every single person in this room, Jesus has walking on water moments for you to walk in. He has miraculous things for you to do, supernatural things. The question isn't, does God have them? It's, are you willing to get out of the boat that you're in? Because on that day, man,
Two people walked on water, Jesus and Peter, but there was a boat full of disciples. And the reason I believe they didn't walk on water isn't because God wouldn't have held them up, isn't because Jesus would have let them drown. No, it's because they just stayed in the boat. So my question for you today is this: what boat are you in? What boat are you stuck in? What's the restriction? What's the level you allow God to take you to, but no further? Maybe some of us, our boat looks like fear of what will people think of me. Hello. Maybe some of us, our boat looks like our personality type. I'm not really an outgoing. I'm more introverted. I'm more relational. And that's fine that God has designed you that way and He will use that part of your life. He will use the boat. But if you only ever go to the edge of the boat, you'll miss out on the fullness of what God can do through you. Maybe your boat is feeling like evangelism isn't really a calling that's for you. Maybe your boat is saying, I'm more prophetic, or I'm more of like a teacher. I'm more of like a Bible study type of guy. I love the word. And I want to encourage you, that is awesome. That is a gift and a grace that God has placed on your life. And there is purpose behind that. God will use that. God will use your normal. But if all you do and all I do is stay within the confines of where we've been before, we will miss out on the walking on water moments that Jesus has for us. If all we do is stay in the normal, we won't get to experience the life that God has for us, the not so normal life. You know, I want to draw our attention to a scripture in Acts chapter 3. And it says this, one of my favorite passages of scripture. In fact, if the worship team can come and join me. It says this: now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer. So we know that Christians were meeting at the temple. We knew that it was regular because they had designated an hour to say, hey, this is the hour that we're going to come together, we're going to gather, we're going to pray. So this was a normal day. It was another prayer meeting. It was the ninth hour. And a man, lame from birth, was being carried, whom they laid daily. Turn to your neighbor and say, daily. Turn to your other neighbor and say, daily. Some of you just like, finally, an opportunity to yell in church. Daily. Laid daily at the gate of the temple, that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms, and Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, look at us. And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and raised him up. And immediately, everyone say immediately, his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk. And he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple, asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Picture this with me. There is a temple. We're in Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit's just come. The church has been birthed. Things are happening. There is revival. There's salvations. God is on the move. And all these Christians are coming together to pray. All these believers are coming together on another normal day for another normal prayer meeting. But right outside where that prayer meeting was being hosted is a lame beggar on the floor. I wonder who else was a Christian that day that was on their way to the temple. In fact, I wonder how many, not just people that were like, you know, liked Jesus. No. Born again, spirit-filled people with the capacity to see God moved, walked past him that day. You know the word normal? Can we put it up on the screen? This is what it means. It means usual, standard, typical, common, expected, every day. This lame man was crippled since birth. This was just every day for him. This was just another day. This was his normal. But we see, as it's a normal day for a lame beggar, a normal prayer meeting for many Christians, there was two Christians that day. Again, our guy Peter, who decided to do something that was not normal. He decided to go outside of the boundaries of where he had been before. And rather than saying, hey, sorry, I don't have any money, mate, all the best, I've got to get to this prayer meeting, and saying he was busy or, you know, giving a reason why, he decides to stop. And in boldness, he says, I don't have any silver and gold, I don't have any money on me, but what I do have is far greater. I have Jesus Christ living inside me. So in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And he grabs him by the hand. And as he lifts him up, the Bible records his feet and his ankles are instantly healed. The man gets up on his feet, is amazed, and he's walking, and he starts to leap, and he's praising God, and he goes with them into the temple, and everyone sees it, and is like, oh my gosh, isn't that the lame guy that was outside? I've seen him there. Like 10 years ago I came, and he was still lame. How is he walking today? And they were filled with amazement and wonder, and Peter sees his opportunity, and is like, hey, guys, he's not healed because I'm powerful. He's healed because Jesus Christ is powerful, and begins to testify about the power of God. And in another day, thousands more say yes to Jesus because someone decided to go outside the bounds of what they normally do. You know, a normal situation for somebody is an opportunity for you and I to live the not so normal life. Look at the result of what happened when one person, two people, decided to go outside the bounds of what was normal, the impact that had. Imagine with me the impact we would have on people in our world if we just said, God, I am ready, I am available to go beyond where I've been before. Would you take me outside of where I've gone? Would you take me beyond what has been normal? Would you take me to a place that is not normal because I want to live for you? Would you stand to your feet all across this room?
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church Podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.